My name's Graham. I'm one of the pastors here. And let me just lead you in prayer as we open God's word and hear what he has to say to us. Father, help us, please, to have clear minds, big ears, and bigger hearts to hear your word to us. This is such good news, what we have before us this morning. So I pray that none of us will get out of here without being confronted with it and captivated by it for your glory. Amen. Well, boasting and bragging, it's something that actually we're quite good at, don't you think? It comes pretty easy to us at certain times and in certain places anyway. What you've done, your achievements, your possessions, your smartphone, your social media profile, your following, how many people are actually interested in you, your characteristics, where you live, what school you're at, your job, your fitness, your pet causes and concerns, or maybe your total lack of concern, your interest groups, your car, your sports team, your exam results, and so on. It goes on and on and on. Now, for sure, all of these things can be spoken about in all sorts of ways. But boasting about them is instantly identifiable, isn't it? It's pretty easy to detect. They're always going on about it. It's just the same thing again and again. Look what I've done. I've done this. This is what I've got. What have you got? Mine's better than yours. And most boasting is utterly self-focused, isn't it? And it's not just me focusing on me when I boast. It's not just pride in myself or what I'm doing. It's also grabbing, sort of like grabbing the spotlight to shine it on me so that everyone can see that I'm the best or I've done most things or I've got this and that and the other or I go here. This is who I belong with. And so on. So that you can see I'm better in some way. Or at least I'm claiming to be. Or at least not as bad as someone else. That's sort of how boasting and bragging works. Now, you will have noticed that it comes up in this final section in Galatians, as we read. It's two ways you see it. Verse 12 says, those who want to impress people... Impress people is important for boasting, isn't it? By means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And then in verse 13, they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. To which Paul follows in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And before we look at what's different about those two types of boasting, it's important to understand the word boasting here. It means reveling or glorying. The thing you keep going on about, I'm glorying in this thing that I want you to know about me that shows that I'm better than you. It's the driving principle of your life, if you like, your operating system. The thing through which you see and do everything. Nothing is untouched by it. And so this isn't just some proud moment of getting an A star in a test last week that you're happy about. And look, I'm happy about that too. Well done. You know, that's not what's in view here. This is the big boast of your life. What drives you? Now, that might be getting A stars in every test. That might be your big boast in life. But this boasting idea is to do with what has captivated you, what you're striving for, what you're living for, what comes out of you at every opportunity, your operating system. And in verse 11, we see that the Apostle Paul is on a mission to make sure his readers understand in these last words of the letter, that this is a big deal. This is urgent. Do you see what he says, verse 11? See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Now look, people have just investigated what's going on here to the nth degree, but it's really this, isn't it? Don't miss this. In our time of tweets and texts, this is bold type, capitalized, underlined, three times larger font size, more like this. Oh, that's not that big, is it? Like, much bigger than that. You get a text with all of that going on, what's the tone of the text? Ooh, I better take notice of that. This is urgent, this is big, this is important. And so he's emphasizing the importance of this, not only for the Galatian church, the Christians there back then, but for us who read it right now. This is important. This is huge for our lives because there's really only these two types of boasting, and what these two types of boasting indicate is the operating system that we are operating on, how we're living our lives. And that covers everyone, whoever you are. One of these, in spite of appearances, is very, very ugly and will drive you eventually to despair and desolation. We call it this morning ugly boasting. Look at me and what I've done. And the other kind is totally liberating and, in spite of some appearances, is glorious and looks like peace and mercy, amongst other things. And we'll call that beautiful boasting. Looking at Jesus and what he's done. So let's have a look at that first one. Ugly boasting. Look at me and what I've done. Now in this church in Galatia, there were a group of people who were teaching a different message to the one that Paul had come to the church with and actually established that church with. Paul had brought them the good news about Jesus. That through putting their faith in what Jesus did, in him giving his life on the cross to save us, you are a forgiven, accepted, fully adopted, completely loved child of God. That's a great message, isn't it? And the false teachers, this other group said, no, no, that's not enough. You've got to do something else. You also have to do something to really show that you're accepted by God. They said you also needed, well, if you're a male, to be circumcised, which all Jewish males were. And even though you weren't a Jew, you had to have that done if you wanted to follow Jesus now. Right? It's a big deal. You've got to do it. And if you didn't do that, you couldn't possibly be a child of God. You weren't really a follower of Jesus. Couldn't really call yourself a proper Christian. And look, what you could do then, once you'd had that done, is you could boast about it. I mean, it's a funny thing to boast about, isn't it? But you could say, I'm one of the chosen. And the false teachers could also boast about it. That's what they wanted to do. We're really serious about God. And look at all the people we've got to follow us who are serious about God. Are they for real? Yes, they are. They're circumcised. You can tell. And that was their driving principle. They were trying to win over people who weren't Jews, non-Jewish Christians as well, so that they could claim them to their group. Right? We're just trying to get a movement off the ground here. And we're doing it in the name of God. This is what God is doing. This is what it means to be God's people. And if you're not wearing the mark, then you're not in. If you haven't got done being done, don't call yourself a Christian. Essentially, it was a focus on the outside. Something done, actually, to my body. The appearance, that was what mattered here. Have you ticked this box? And if you had, then yeah, let's get excited about that. We're now the crew. You're with us. Let's go. We're the people of God. We're serious about his law. Do you see? You can tell. Look what we've done. But do you see, this boasting gives away the problem with it. See, although there seems to be a concern about God's law, have a look at verse 13. Paul says this, not even those who are circumcised, not even those who have done this, actually keep the law. Yet they want you to do it as well, that they may boast about you having done that too. And that's the reality. It's just an outward mark. Something on the outside, nothing from the inside. No inward change. And the boasting just signals it. Look at the statistics. So many circumcisions in a year. Wow. And in the case of circumcisions, it looks a bit crass to us, doesn't it? Getting excited about that statistic. But the temptation is there with some of our own ways of thinking and believing too. We certainly hear as we read the book of Galatians, the call for our message to be sound, right? The right message. But there's also the warning for our motives as we hold out that message to be pure as well, to be good. And so while we do have a place for various measurable things that indicate the health of a church and leaders take those things into account, for sure, those things should never become bragging material for this church or its leadership, or any church and their leadership. And even if God blesses us amazingly with a whole heap of conversions or a whole raft of professions of faith, and these are the things that we're praying for, right? We want those things to happen, yeah? We're working towards those things. But they mustn't then become grounds for boasting about how well we're doing. These are things that show, don't they? Not what so much what we're doing, but what God is doing. Because those are things that only God can do. Give the gift of living faith into people like us. And so it becomes beyond ugly when we make those things all about us. When we grab the spotlight and shine them on us. Another telltale sign that suggests we might be heading towards this ugly boasting is taking that message of the gospel and changing it and diluting it in some way to make it more comfortable, to make it more palatable, changing what we do to be more acceptable. Do you see in verse 12, Paul says, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Now look, the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. So Paul himself, his own experience of following Jesus was actually quite different from that, wasn't it? We can read about it in the book of Acts. Paul was a Jew, not any old Jew. He'd sort of been an elite special forces operator level Jew. Right, a Pharisee, hardcore, zealot, and then he'd met Jesus face to face in resurrection glory. And from then on, he'd shared with anyone who would listen, as well as everyone who wouldn't listen, the good news about Jesus who died on a cross, starting with the Jewish synagogues. And the result, every time, uproar, rejection, violence, abuse, exactly the same way people treated Jesus himself. But if you change the message, the persecution goes away, doesn't it? And if you change it in order to please the Jews or anyone else, you may see amazing results. People will welcome that message. Enough to boast about. But it ends in disaster. And the recent film, American Gospel, Christ Alone, it shows how the gospel message has been changed in our own times. And how, you know, places in our Christian culture have now become indistinguishable from some of the obvious acts of the sinful nature. Things like greed. Things that are obvious. So, as we think about ugly boasting, this idea of look at me and what I've done, is that your operating system? The question of how you're going as a disciple of Jesus, how do you answer that? Is it answered by all the things that you're doing? Answered by all the things that you've done? Is it brought out in a list of badges and medals? I'm not saying the badge work of gems is in view here, but that's what we can do with the things that we've done. And we do that to God and say, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done that. And then we do it to other people to show we've done this, and we've done this, and we've done this. To try and impress others, to cover the inner truth, to feel superior or at least less inferior. But what about when Jesus himself asks us that question, face to face, looking you in the eye? What's your operating system? What's the driving force of your life? We looked recently at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He said this, many will say to me on that day when he's looking eye to eye at people, Lord, Lord, did we not, do you see what they're saying? Prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles. Didn't we do all this stuff? Do, 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 do. Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, ugly boasting about a surface illusion becomes ugliest in the presence of Jesus, doesn't it? External religion, observing all the things we think we need to observe, but there's nothing on the inside. What you boast about indicates your operating system. And this one may bring you some accolades, even a certain sort of success in this life. But when it really matters, it will leave you gnashing your teeth for eternity outside of the presence of the God of all goodness. It is not good news. But thankfully, there's a better way. And that's the second boasting, beautiful boasting. Seeing Jesus and what he's done. Paul says, may I never boast, in verse 14, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. So it's not what we have done, are doing or can do that gives us any hope or standing before God. It's only what Jesus has done. That is the good news. And you see, Paul says, circumcision is nothing. Thank God for that. It doesn't mean anything. What counts is not outward marks. What counts is a new creation. And how does that come? I've got a chocolate bar here, and it's survived sitting here because I didn't want it melting in my pocket, right even next to the gems. And even with Paul up here, it survived. Now, it's my favourite flavour of dairy milk. Is this anyone else's favourite flavour of dairy milk? Marvellous Creations? Yeah, okay, yeah. The Jelly Popping Candy Beanies version of Marvellous Creations. It came out after the remake of the film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, all about Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, where he makes these amazing new creations with lollies and chocolate, right? And anything else in that sort of area, right? But we try and emulate that in the real world, and all we can come up with is just a new flavour of chocolate. Now, it is quite nice, but it's just a different flavour, isn't it? You eat this, right, a lot, it will still rot your teeth, and it will still make you larger than you want to be, right? So that's a problem. I want the new creation that doesn't do those things and is still lovely. Paul is talking about something totally new, not just a different flavour, not just a different ingredient. Not just a tweak, but a totally new order of creation. Elsewhere, Paul says in the New Testament to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who's reconciled us to himself through Christ." From God. Not what we've done. From God. In Christ. Not from what we've done. It's in Christ. Because of the cross. Not because we did that, but that's what needed to happen to us, really. And yet Jesus stepped into our place. To you and me. Now that is something to boast about. That's what Paul says. And what does it look like? Oh, I've had a shocker again. I feel so bad. Why am I always struggling in this way? But Jesus died to take my sins away. That is a new creation. Jesus is going to help me address all the trouble I've caused. There's so much. I've done so many things wrong. But Jesus is going to help me with that. That's a new creation. Praise Jesus, so-and-so has become a Christian. That's a new creation. I really feel like I'm doing so much. But I look at Jesus. It's nothing compared to what he's done for me. That's a new creation. I love Connect Group. I'm learning so much about the life I have in Jesus. I love Gems. That was fantastic hearing those testimonies, girls. I love hearing about Jesus. I've learned about Jesus. I've learned about these things at Gems. That's a new creation. Everyone seems to be against me. I feel so isolated. But I look at the cross and I see how much God loves me in Christ. That's a new creation. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is my operating system. Jesus helps me in the tough times. Jesus transforms what is tough to make it bearable, and it even does me good. Jesus is my operating system. I'm secure in him. I love because he loved me first. I forgive because he's forgiven me. I serve because he served me. It's all about Jesus. And I guess from others' point of view, it's seeing what Jesus is doing in me as that's happening. But I don't need to boast. It's obvious. Because that is the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at that recently in this series. It will look amazing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. There's a verse in Galatians 5, verse 6, that's very similar to verse 15 of our reading. There we read, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And here, the only thing that counts is the new creation. You see, the new creation is faith expressing itself as love. It's the fruit of the Spirit. There's something new, and it's because of Jesus. But because it's all about Jesus, it will also get you into trouble. It can take you into some tough places. Paul himself, in verse 17, bears marks of persecution on his body. People will feel judged by godliness. We'll suffer perhaps for doing good. But we can boast about Jesus even in that. Remember the disciples when they were thrown in prison? Singing hymns, praising God, they've been counted worthy of persecution. And so chapter 6 verse 14 says it all. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so the big idea this morning is this, as we end this series in Galatians. You know you're a new creation when you're boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's how you know. Not look what I've done. Look what Jesus has done. Jesus has brought freedom in the gospel. It's not boring news of religious rituals. It's not bad news of religious rules. It's good news of forgiveness and freedom and life. Not through what we've done, but through what Jesus has done. Here's Tim Keller. Puts it well. He says, every other religion and philosophy says you have to do something to connect to God, but Christianity says no. Jesus Christ came to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Every other religion says there are answers, here are the answers to the big questions, but Christianity says Jesus is the answer to them all. So many systems of thought appeal to strong, successful people because they play directly into their belief that if you're strong and hardworking enough, you'll prevail. But Christianity is not just for the strong, it's for everyone. It's for those who can see they need a Savior, that they need Jesus Christ dying on the cross to put them right with God. So what are you boasting in? What's the big boast of your life? Is it the cross of Jesus, or is it something you've done? And are you glorying in Christ's done? Or are you still struggling with your own, what I've got to do and do and do? Do you feel free, or do you feel enslaved? Or do you have the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no other message that can save you. There's no other news like this news that sets you free and brings a totally new creation. Now, sooner or later, no one really likes a boaster or a bragger, do they? But when you're boasting in Jesus, when his salvation becomes your operating system, well, they might just change their minds. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to us and we to the world. Help us to see that that has brought us freedom, it's brought us life, it's brought joy. And help us to delight and revel and glory in that. So that not even just the words that we say, but the lives that we live, boast. Not about ourselves, but about what you have done and what you're continuing to do. Make this clear to us, I pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.